Psalm 14. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is none who does good. No, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread, and do not call on the Lord? For they are in great fear, for God is with the generation of the righteous. You shame the counsel of the poor, but the Lord is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion, when the Lord brings back the captivity of his people. Let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. Many years ago in the United Kingdom, in England, a street evangelist managed to gather a large crowd of people around him. He said that he had discovered a verse in the Bible where it said, there is no God. People started to get interested. People waited expectantly for the evangelist to open his Bible and show the people in the verse where it says, there is no God. And when the crowd was judged to be at its highest and largest, the evangelist opened his Bible and he read from Psalm 14, verses 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Well, afterwards, people were embarrassed and left, and the evangelist tried to preach the gospel to the crowd. Many drifted away and some stayed to hear him. Today, if you say in your heart, there is no God of the Bible, then the God of the Bible replies to you today and says, you are a fool. Our English word fool comes from a Latin word which means bellows. Now, in England, when everyone used to have coal fires, people used to produce air to revive a dying fire. And they used to use something called bellows that kind of puffed again and the air went under the fire. And this suggests that a fool is a person full of empty air. In the Hebrew language, there are three basic words for the word a fool. There are a person who is dull and stupid, an unreasonable person who is perverted, and a person who is stubborn like an animal. Now, people who think there is no God are not necessarily people without a good brain or intelligence. They may have good minds, but they lack spiritual wisdom or insight. The Bible, in describing a fool, focuses not on the intellect or the mind, but the moral aspects of life that require us to be accountable to God. So they have good minds, but they lack wisdom or insight. Now, Psalm 14 describes the pathway of a foolish person. And I've highlighted three things that the psalmist points out to us today about foolish people. And the first one that we discover in verse 1 is that a fool denies a creator God. The first two chapters of the book of Genesis are very important chapters. And they describe the history of creation and the origin of mankind. Let me just read those verses to you. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then in verse 26, then God said, let us make human beings in our own image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it, reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground." Now, although the Bible has proved to be the most accurate historical document of all times, many people today deny the existence of a creator God. The question I asked myself this morning is, why do they do this? Well, there are many reasons that people give for being an atheist, denying that there is God. But the main one, if they're honest, goes something like this. I don't want to be accountable to anybody concerning my life. I want to go my own way. I want to live the way that I want to live. I don't want any outside interference about my morality or being accountable to any God. And the problem for atheists is that their argument for no God is very weak compared to the Christian's argument for a creator God. Now, I'm going to give you this morning briefly three arguments for the existence of God. And by this, I mean the God of the Bible, our creator owner. There are many, and I could be defending God all morning, but just three brief arguments for the existence of God. First of all, there is a worldwide belief in the existence of the God of the Bible. Now, even before Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, there was a universal belief in the existence of a supreme creator God. Now, ask the question, where did this come from? If it didn't come from the Bible, because it wasn't written, where did this belief in a creator God come from? It didn't come from outside sources, such as reason or tradition, or even the Bible. It wasn't written. And all the evidence points conclusively to the fact that the belief in the existence of God comes from inside us. It is something that is already built into all of our hearts. So even today, if you say, "I do not believe in the God of the Bible," then there is something in your heart that is telling you, actually, there is a God, there is a creator God. The Bible says that God has put the idea of eternity into all of our hearts. So we're born in the image of God, and there is something inside us. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 11. The Bible talks about people suppressing the truth, and we'll be coming on to that later. Atheists spend their whole lives trying to suppress the truth that is already planted in their hearts. The Bible is clear that God created us in his own image, and when he did that, something of himself was placed into mankind. Therefore, inside our hearts, there is an awareness of a creator God who made us. In lots of people all over the world, there is a desire to search for the meaning and the purpose of life. Where does this desire come from? It comes from something that God has put into our hearts. So long before the Bible was written, and long before there was any other evidence, God has put it into our hearts. So there has always been a universal, worldwide belief in the existence of a supreme being. We call him the God of the Bible. The second thing is that the world in which we live, the animals, the birds, the plants, are uniquely designed. And you cannot have a unique design without a supreme designer. And I want to just give you three examples from three birds, just to show you the uniqueness and the amazing design that's gone into producing these three birds. And there are hundreds and hundreds of birds and examples like this. First of all, I want to introduce you to a small bird called the Arctic tern. And this bird migrates between the North and the South Pole every year. And every year it travels 15,000 kilometers. So every year it travels 15,000 kilometers. And in the lifetime of the average Arctic tern, it travels about 1 million kilometers. Okay? Now, not even we would do that in our lifetime in an aeroplane. And these tiny birds have a navigational system that no man can ever understand. So whoever created these birds must be greater than man. So imagine a navigation system in a little bird that tells that bird to go from the North Pole to the South Pole every year. That's absolutely amazing. Then we have the bar-headed goose. Maybe you've seen a bar-headed goose. Now, this bird has the highest migration route over the Himalayan mountains. It starts at sea level and it rises to 9 kilometers above sea level. And this is there's very little oxygen 9 kilometers above sea level. Now, most creatures, including humans, could not survive at this level. And this bird not only survives, but it flies great distance at this height. It's just amazing. But who created such an amazing goose? Certainly, it wasn't an accident. Whoever designed that goose to go on that route must be an amazing person. And then the golden plover. Now, one of the most amazing routes of migration takes this tiny bird from Alaska in North America to Hawaii, that small island. And the journey is 3,000 kilometers. The island of Hawaii represents a tiny little target in the vast Pacific Ocean. And this bird makes it every year without satellite navigation or any training. What an amazing bird. Who created and designed such a creature? Well, the Bible says that the God of the Bible made the birds. And a similar unique design system can be seen throughout thousands of birds and animals and insects and even trees and plants and everything else in nature. And it's not possible to have such a unique and amazing designs and capabilities in this creature without someone of a much higher power and intelligence than man who can design all these things. Yes, God gave man a little spot of his intellect, but that's all. God is the master designer and he can produce something wonderful out of nothing. God does not need pre-existing material to create anything. God can create something out of nothing. But mankind always needs to use something which God has already created to create other things. That is the wonderful thing about God. He creates something out of nothing, but man needs material to create. And man will never create something out of nothing. So whoever has done that is absolutely unique. And the Bible teaches us that God created all these things. He's the supernatural designer. And then we have the design of man and woman that points to a higher intelligent design. Human beings have a unique design in our mind and in our body, in our spirit. And this unique design of man gives evidence for a supernatural creator. Now, man is very different from animals, and this proves that man does not come from apes. He was uniquely created at the same time, but created differently. Now, we only have time for two small examples, and I just want to mention one now. Man's big toe. Next time you have a bath or something, have a look at your big toe. Everybody has a big toe which is close to all our other toes. And this feature is very important for walking and running. For each step that we take, the final push comes from the big toe. In order to propel the body forwards in a controlled manner, the big toe must be very strong. Okay? Now this is in contrast to the apes, as their big toe is like a flexible thumb, which is designed for gripping branches. So very different. So when an ape tries to walk in an upright position, they can't make a push from their big toes. They were created and designed differently. So we have a big toe, and just even that toe enables us to walk and to push our steps forward. And then the amazing knee joints that we have, man's knee joints. The knee joints of humans have four complex parts that need to exist and function simultaneously in order to function correctly. Now, if you have an injury in one of those four parts of your knee, then it can't function in the same way. And the human knee joint can be fully extended so that the leg can be made straight and the body upright. This position makes standing easy because the muscles do not need to be kept in tension. Now, in contrast, the knee joints of apes are not fully extendable, which is why an ape must always have bent legs. So man has managed to design a knee replacement, but it cannot function in the same way as God has created our knee. When you have a knee replacement, you cannot do breaststroke in the swimming pool. Whoever designed a person's knee was better than our top knee replacement medical scientists. Someone designed a different knee for apes as compared to man. And this special design means that there is no possibility of an ape evolving into a man, because the complex operation involved in just the knee would make this transition impossible. Now, the God of the Bible was the amazing designer of the human knee and the ape knee. Therefore, a fool denies his creator owner by ignoring the evidence. So that's the first thing that I want to present to you, that there is a worldwide existence for the God of the Bible. The design of creation, including man, is an amazing thing that we cannot ignore. Okay, so the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Then we turn to verses 1 to 4. A fool's heart is corrupt and their actions are evil. Now, the psalmist says in verses 1 to 3, the psalmist is very critical of fools. He tells us that God looks down from heaven to see if any of these foolish people might seek God. God discovers that not one of these fools does any good in his eyes. And the reason for this problem is that man does not accept his sinful nature. Mankind prefer to think that they are born perfect, and it's the outside world that will corrupt their hearts and minds. Most people cannot accept that a little baby can be born with a sinful nature. To these people, I would say, who teaches a child to do wrong and to be disobedient to their mother? It's not the mother who teaches the child to disobey. The child's very nature expresses itself through disobedience. You don't have to teach a child to do right things. Sorry, you have to teach a child to do right things, but you never have to teach a child to do wrong. The wrong behavior comes from its sinful nature. The problem with fools is not lack of normal intelligence, it's a deliberate ignorance. Let us look at some of the Bible passages that highlight this deliberate ignorance. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. It says, "This is my second letter to you, dear friends, and in both of them I have tried to stimulate your wholesome thinking and refresh your memory. I want you to remember that the holy prophets said long ago, and what our Lord and Savior commanded through your apostles. Most importantly, I want to remind you that in the last days, those are the days we're living now, that in the last days, scoffers will come mocking the truth and following their own desires. So we're living a day to day where the Bible is mocked and scoffed and people have their own desires. They will say, what happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again? From before the times of our ancestors, everything has remained the same since the world was first created. They deliberately forget that God made the heavens long ago by the word of his command, and he brought the earth out from the water and surrounded it with water. Then he used the water to destroy the ancient world with a mighty flood. And by the same word, the present heavens and the earth have been stored up for fire. They are being kept for the day of judgment when ungodly people will be destroyed. And then Paul, writing to the church in Rome, says, but God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. So people who deny God are always suppressing, trying to push down the truth. They know the truth about God because it has been made obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. And as a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious ever-living God, they worship idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. So, God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. And as a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshipped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. This is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex, instead indulging in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men, and as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved. Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. So when you leave out your Creator God, when you leave God out of your thinking, your inner person becomes more and more corrupt. And this is what is happening in our world today. People want to take the God of the Bible and suppress him, and they want to do their own thing, and the world is becoming more and more corrupt. There is more and more evil going on because people want to suppress the truth about God. So as we get near to the second coming of Jesus Christ, people will not be hearing the word of God taught from the Bible. The world will become more and more corrupt. But take heart, we have God's word. We have the truth, and we must declare it while we have the opportunity to do so. Finally, in this section, we're told that the workers of iniquity eat up God's people as they eat bread. What does this mean? Well, To eat people like bread is a biblical metaphor for exploiting the helpless. Corrupt people exploit the poor and those people who cannot help themselves. And God's judgment is coming to these people. And this is why the psalmist says in verse 5 that sudden fear will come upon these people. They'll think that they are getting away with it, and then suddenly God will come and bring judgment. The third thing we discover in this psalm, in verse 5, is that a fool will one day have sudden fear. One day, sudden fear will come upon those people who reject God in their lifetime. What is the psalmist thinking about here? Well, the psalmist is assured of God's eternal judgment for the fool who rejects God. When confronted with fools in Athens, Paul responded by telling them, one day they're going to have to face the judge. They're going to have to be judged through Jesus Christ. Let me just read what Paul said to the fools in Athens. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, this was a legal place, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. So they had their religion. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope they might grope for him and find him, though he's not very far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your poets have said. For we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man he has ordained. And he's given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Do you know there's only one place where you'll be able to say, there is no God? And sadly, that is the place that the Bible describes as hell. In hell, there will be no God. Therefore, the wisest decision that you will ever make is to admit that you were originally created by the God of the Bible for a personal relationship. And through the disobedience of our original parents, Adam and Eve, God separated himself from his created beings. He punished mankind, bringing death upon all people because of their disobedience. However, God provided a way back into that original personal relationship that we once had. And the way back to God is only through his Son, Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ, God's Son, took the punishment we deserve for our sin and disobedience. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, that we could be made right with God through Christ. So my challenge for you is, don't be a fool. Be wise and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray.